Turn with me in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is something that's been on my heart for a while, and I believe it's going to be very, very helpful to us individually and as a church. And we're going to look at the subject of spiritual gifts, and we're going to take a number of weeks to do so. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth and took three entire chapters to admonish them, commend them, explain, redirect. And so we want to do that. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and this will be the goal and the text, and I believe it was the Holy Spirit's goal for the church at Corinth in this discourse in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1, it says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." And so then he took three chapters to help them not be ignorant. Okay, so the fact is, it is possible to be ignorant. All right, and so that's not something that we want in our life or we want in our understanding. In the Message Bible, it puts it this way. It says, "I want you to be informed and knowledgeable." Informed and knowledgeable about what? About spiritual gifts. Now, the word there in 1 Corinthians 12, 1 is charisma. It's a Greek word meaning simply gifts. And it's where we get when we refer to the charismatic movement, or the Pentecostal movement. Charisma is those gifts that we're gonna look at that are listed in 1 Corinthians 12, 8 and 9. These are supernatural things that God does through the life of a believer. And these gifts are for the church. And I'm not gonna take a lot of time, but those gifts, we don't have any scriptural support to say that those gifts stopped or that they ceased with the apostles, all right? And it is a wonderful thing. In about the last 100 years or so, 110 years, there has been a worldwide revival of those gifts, of what we would refer to as the Pentecostal or the charismatic movement. And it's interesting to note that in the world today, 80% of every person that gets born again worldwide happens through the efforts of Pentecostal and charismatic churches and ministries. And so we're not just a bunch of crazed, people that don't know what we're doing. Okay, maybe we used to be. All right, but I don't believe I think we're accepted and respected. But in the same vein, we're not supposed to be ignorant. We're supposed to be knowledgeable about these gifts. Now, the thing about the church in Corinth, Paul commended them in 1 Corinthians 1, 7. He said, and he was bragging on them, he said, "You come behind in no spiritual gift." And so you'll see as we progress through this teaching, the church at Corinth was operating in these gifts. All right. But while they were operating these gifts, there was misuse or abuse of these gifts. Okay. And so they were using them, but they weren't using them skillfully. And there were problems that were occurring in their use. Okay. So, and I think we understand this from other areas of life, that just because you use something doesn't mean you use it well. Okay? I don't know if you've ever seen someone, you'd have to maybe go think back, or maybe someone in your family that maybe is a little bit older. But do you remember when people started first using computers? You know, they get a laptop or they get a computer at home. And I remember, and I hope they don't get the CD, but I remember my mom and I remember my wife's dad. And you know, when you would use a mouse to use a computer, and I remember both of them, they'd kind of move their whole body with the mouse and the click, you know. Now, they're both in their 70s and they're very proficient. I mean, they send us videos and jokes and all kind of stuff, you know. But the thing about it is in life that, you know, when you use something for the first time, many times you don't know what you're doing, right? And you can crash it or you can use it wrongly. Okay, and so the church at Corinth was, they were Gentiles before they were born again. All right, they were idol worshipers. And so they weren't used to God. They weren't used to the things of God. And so they were born again, baptized in the Holy Spirit. And so, you know, now they're prophesying and speaking in tongues. But it was getting a little bit weird. Okay, and so Paul writes to them and he says, my goal during this discourse is, I don't want you to be ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. All right. He says, I want you to be knowledgeable. I want you to be informed. And that is my heart as we go through this series is, Miracle Life and folks of Miracle Life, let's be knowledgeable. Let's be informed. Let's not abuse or misuse what God intends to be a blessing, nor let us be kind of burned and, oh, I saw that happen one time. That was crazy. And so just forget about that. No, let's flow with God, but let's understand His word in this way. All right. So, there has been, and I've been in the charismatic movement for over 30 years. All right. And I grew up as an Anglican, but our church received a wonderful infilling of the presence of God and the healing power of God and tongues and all those kinds of things. But in the last 30 some years, I've seen the good, the bad and the ugly. All right. And so I am so thankful for the present day ministry of the Holy Spirit that God does supernatural things. But I'm also thankful that we have His word to guide us, to govern us, and to help us to do this to be a blessing. Amen. And to really have God's heart communicated. All right. So turn to your neighbor and say, let's understand. All right. So because that's Paul's goal here is he says, I don't want you to be ignorant, but I want you to understand. I want you to be informed. Okay. Now, let's keep reading because we're going to look at the kind of the first few verses of 1 Corinthians 12 today. All right. So in 1 Corinthians 12, so we see in verse 1, he doesn't want us to be ignorant. Verse 2, you know that you were Gentiles carried away with these dumb idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And I think what Paul is saying is he's reminding them, you know, when you were pagans, you were very sincere in your worship of idols, all right, but you were misguided. And it is such an interesting situation, I think, in 2013 that it seems as though kind of really the religion of the world today is that we need to kind of respect each other and we need to coexist is of sincerity. And it's kind of this idea that as long as you believe anything, doesn't matter what you believe, you can bark at the moon and howl in the middle of the night and, you know, worship an idol or whatever. As long as you're sincere in your heart, who am I to be a judge? And let's all hold hands and sing Kumbaya and we can save the world and we are the world and we can all get along. That is not the message of the New Testament. Jesus Christ is the way. He is the truth. Amen. And churches and cults that don't believe in the virgin birth and don't believe that Jesus was the Son of God and that believe that God came down as an angel and spoke to Joseph Smith, you know, we're not supposed to coexist. Amen. We're supposed to get those people saved. Now we love them. We're not condemning, but they are wrong. And we are right. The Bible is the truth. And if that's not, you know, politically correct, well, who cares? Amen. Hallelujah. I love what C.S. Lewis said. He goes, and he says, truth is not defined inside of us. It's defined outside of us. Amen. And so just because, you know, you embrace something to be true, well, I just believe that, you know, I just believe in my heart that I can love 10 women at a time and I can have 10, you know. Well, guess what? You're wrong, sir. I love you, but you're wrong. Why? Because God says you are. Hallelujah. We're not going to have all the men stand up and say, I'm a one woman man. All right. But that's what the Bible says. All right. So we go to the source of truth, and the source of truth is not a denomination. The source of truth is not men's opinion. It is the Bible. It is the Word of God. All right. Let's keep reading. So 1 Corinthians 12. All right. Verse 4, it says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are diversities of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but is the same God who works all in all. Now, I think you can see very clearly the writing here, and he makes a point here. Diversity, same. Diversity, same. Diversity, same. Okay, diversities of what? Okay, there are different diversities of gifts, of ministries, of activities, okay, that are going to be listed in this chapter. Okay, so it's not just diversity, I've got a ministry, you know, that I fly around the room and sprinkle pixie dust on you. Okay, well, that's my ministry. Well, wait, no, he lists the diversities of those ministries, of those activities, of those gifts. So it's not just a free-for-all of whatever. No, they're defined by the Bible. Amen? Okay. But the point is that while there are different types of ministries, activities of gifts, it is the same God who distributes them. The same God who gives them. And it actually speaks of the Trinity here. Same God, same Lord, same Spirit. Amen. And so we see here one of the points is that diversity is by divine design. Amen. And we see that in our world. All right. We see the way God created us. And I'm so excited to be part of a church that we decided intentionally to be international. All right. We decided intentionally that God loves everybody. All right. And so we have diversity in this church. Well, why is that? Because it's by the design on purpose of God. All right. And so we're going to see that in these gifts is that God isn't going to use us all the same. Okay. And we can appreciate the way God uses someone else, even though it might not be exactly how God uses me. All right. So today, and what we're going to see from this passage is that while there are these gifts and God wants us to understand these gifts, there is a purpose behind these gifts. And we have to understand the purpose of something before we do it. Pastor William was talking about, you know, people getting married, three different couples. There's others in the pipeline. There's others couples that are coming. But how many of you know if you go into marriage and you don't understand the purpose of marriage, you will abuse marriage. Okay. I like the way Miles Monroe put it. He said, if you don't understand the purpose of a thing, you will abuse it. And what is abuse? It is to use it abnormally. Use it in a way that it was not created for that use. Okay. How many of you have ever, been on the streets of Lusaka and you see a small truck, you know, maybe there's a 1-ton truck. And it's got 5 tons of charcoal on the back. I mean, it's going up to the, you know, the 2-3 stories high, you know. And the guy, and the smoke's billowing out, and he's not going to be in the charcoal transport business very long. Why? Because he is abusing the way that Toyota engineer designed that vehicle to be used. When they designed that vehicle, they were thinking about maybe you could put some, you know, some paint in the back and a few people and now and then, but not 5 tons of charcoal. And if you use it in a way that it wasn't designed for, you'll abuse it. All right. So the gifts of the Spirit, these spiritual gifts that come from God, that are biblical, that are on the earth today, we must understand God's purpose behind these gifts. Or what's going to happen? We will abuse them. All right. And I think this is where we begin to get wrong, is where we begin to get off, is people sometimes have other uses for these gifts that are different than what God gave them for. All right. So we have a wonderful biblical purpose statement for these gifts. All right. And it's in 1 Corinthians 12:7. 1 Corinthians 12:7. Okay. But the manifestation of the Spirit. All right. Now, what does the manifestation mean? It means when God shows up. Okay. Is that, so the Spirit of God manifests himself. He makes himself real through these, and we'll talk about these nine gifts. Okay. But he manifests himself. All right. To each one for. So he tells us why. For the profit of all. Okay. New Living Translation says it this way. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. So we can help each other. All right. So simply put, we can put it in another way. A spiritual gift is not given to you for you. Okay, there is a ministry of the Holy Spirit, and we see Jesus speaking of that, of who the Holy Spirit is, and in John 14, 15, 16, 17, that in that passage, and much of that passage is about the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit who lives in us, and much of the benefit that he is to our personal life. And isn't he wonderful? He leads us. He shows us things to come. He does all these things. He teaches us. All right. But there is another ministry of the Holy Spirit. And in that ministry is not for you. It's for someone else. Okay. And these spiritual gifts, if we just understand that today, I think it will go a long way. That God wants to equip us and help us to use these gifts. But the benefit of those gifts are not for us personally, okay? They are to help others. Okay, now, this is just my observation. It's troubling that it seems like when it comes to spiritual gifts, people have, where have they used it for other reasons? Sometimes it is for personal ego, you know? And you hear people, you know, God uses me in all nine gifts of the Spirit at all times. Okay, well, time out. Why did you tell me that? Was that to bless me? Or was it so that I can go, oh, wow, you are special. Aren't you anointed? No, it's for ego. All right. I really get tickled at this is the, and there's kind of this trend around the world right now is the after the fact prophecy. Right? So people just don't come out and say, okay, here's what the Spirit of the Lord told me about this, this, and this. No, they wait until after it happens and then they dig up from the archives and say, I predicted it. I predicted it. Again, why do you want to tell me that you predicted it? Because now I think, wow, you're special. Folks, it's ego. It's ego. All right? And how many of you know that that's what caused Lucifer to become Satan? I, me. Amen? Okay? So that's a big problem. Sometimes the gifts of the Spirit are used, it seems like, for spiritual entertainment. You know, we turn on the TV and we get out our popcorn and our Coke. Wow. Oh, look at that miracle, honey. Man, that's a good one. 9.5. Excellent. Let me just encourage, if you want to be entertained, it's kind of like a spiritual action movie, you know? Ooh, wow, blew up. Now just go rent a Chuck Norris movie. You know? Go see Expendables 2, you know? I deny I said that, all right? Strike that from the record, okay? It's okay to be entertained, not all the time, but, you know, it's fun to enjoy. But I feel like sometimes these spiritual gifts, people go to services or whatever, and they're just like, ooh, ah, yay. Like, you know, I like going to the fireworks, right? And you see, psh, 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 ooh, ah. And I feel like that's what some charismatic services are. It's not to bless people. It's not to help the body of Christ. It's so we can go and go, ooh, wow, like some 5-year-old. So the spiritual gifts are not for personal ego. They are not for spiritual entertainment. Okay? And here's another one, and this is, we've got to be careful with this. They are not to somehow lend legitimacy to the man or the woman of God. Like, okay, everybody, I am anointed here. Okay, and let me tell you about all these things that happen, and this one, and this, and so now you know, I am anointed. Okay? But because here's the problem. What we see from the Word of God, and it is true in the earth today, that God is not the only source of supernatural power. Okay? Do you remember when Moses and Aaron went to go see Pharaoh? And so, you know, God, you know, the rod became a snake. Moses picked him up. Well, guess what? The magicians of Pharaoh duplicated that miracle. Now, it's kind of cool that Moses' snake ate their snake, all right? I love the Lord. Amen. We are winners. All right? Just like Jesus. Okay? But there is another source of supernatural ability that is out there. There is someone called the devil. All right? He is alive. All right? He is defeated for us. All right? But he still does work. Okay? And so not all that glitters is gold. Okay? And not everything that happens supernaturally is from God. Okay? Now, here's something interesting that, because here's what happens sometimes is when God uses people in gifts and, you know, the power gifts, the revelation gifts, these things, we kind of instantly think, oh, that is a spiritual, that is a man of God. That is a woman of God. Well, one of the things we're going to see as we progress is that spiritual gifts are not just for the pulpit. They're for your home. They're there to help you raise your kids. They're there for the boardroom. That you get a contract and someone asks you to sign, and by the Spirit of God, the word of wisdom will come upon you. And you'll realize, uh-oh, this is wrong. What is that? That's the Holy Spirit. So it's not just for church. It's not just for a select few. But it's God wants to use you in these ways. And he wants to work in your life. Okay? Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So, we see that the church in Corinth, Paul said, you don't come behind in any spiritual gift. Okay? And we'll see in chapter 14, they were using these gifts, okay? Sometimes abusing them. But notice what he says in 1 Corinthians 3, 1, the same group of people. He says, I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now, you're still not able. For you are still carnal. Carnal Christians using the gifts of the Spirit. Okay? So the spiritual gifts are not a reward for maturity. Okay? Sometimes they are there in spite of immaturity. Can you see that? Okay? And again, it's not just about, you know, that when you reach a certain level that boom, then you'll be able to do these things. No, there's a terrible mix sometimes of spiritual immaturity. These were called babes in Christ, immature, carnal, and yet anointed by the Holy Spirit. And you put those in a mix, ooh, and you get big problems. All right. And I think sometimes we see that. Okay, so the answer is not just not to be anointed, but it is to be both. It's not either or, but it's both. Let us not be babes in Christ. Let's not be carnal. Let's be mature and let the gifts of the Spirit work in our life. Amen. Now, so Paul, one of the things he spoke about in 1 Corinthians 13, and really it is a common theme in these chapters, is the idea of of maturity. Okay? 1 Corinthians 13:11, he says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as also I am known. Okay? So Paul is saying, and this is in that context of spiritual gifts, is that we need to grow up, right? We need to not be childish or immature in our life. Look above there in 1 Corinthians 13, all right, verse 1. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. All right, we'll see that's one of the gifts that's going to be listed here. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Right? That first phrase is talking about a gong. And in ancient days, a gong was used to call attention. You know, so when the king is about to enter the room or, you know, gong. What is it? When the gong goes off, everybody looks at the gong. All right. So Paul is saying, when you're operating in spiritual gifts and the motive is not love, what is the result? Gong. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And I've been in some meetings. It's so disgusting. It's almost like, you know, a professional wrestling, you know, as these, you know, people make their entrance, you know, The Rock. I think The Rock is now the world champion again. Am I right? Anybody? I heard that. Okay. But, you know, they come in and they've got the belt and the smoke and everything. And some church ministries come close to that, you know. The man of God is in the house. And people go wild and crazy. A friend of mine here in this city, he actually left a meeting because here was the pulpit and everybody, you know, that was going to be speaking was over here. And the prophetess couldn't go to the pulpit until they literally rolled out a red carpet for her. And she could, okay. And praise God, he just left. Amen, you know. Go home and watch TV. Use your time better than that, you know. What is that? Gong! Now, are some of these people anointed? Yeah, I think they are. Terribly immature. Terribly carnal. Okay? Now, today's purpose, we're not pointing fingers, we're not throwing stones. We're talking about us, you and me. All right, we're talking about you and me. And so if God uses, just ask yourself this question. If God uses you in a wonderful way, you know, and you pray for somebody and they get healed, or there's a word and it touches their life, do you have an insatiable appetite to tell your 10 best friends, oh, look what I did, look what I did, woo. Huh? Remember Jesus did this a lot? He would heal somebody and then he'd tell them, shh, don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody. Because the one place where the guy Jesus told, he said, don't tell anybody. He did anyway. Then the whole crowd, the whole city went crazy. Jesus couldn't even do anything. He had to leave the city. Jesus was not looking to be a rock star. We don't need spiritual rock stars. We've got rock stars. Let rock stars be rock stars. Okay? We need to just let God, with a motive of love and of service and the prophet of all, say, God, hey, I, and we'll see that I desire earnestly the best gift. What's the best gift? The one that makes me look good. The one where I can be, you know, and it's like a spiritual Avenger, you know, and we fly through the air and we do all these things. No. It's to serve. It is to love. It is to minister. And if nobody hears about it other than the person you touch, that's okay with you. Amen. We've got to talk about these things, folks. We can't be babies, all right? One of the signs of a child, all right, before they get grown, one of the things about their life is they filter, and the whole world is about them. their needs and their dryness and their stomach and their, I love this toddler property law. I came across this a number of years ago. The 10 laws of, if you're a lawyer, you'll understand 10 laws of property, toddler property law. Number one, if I like it, it's mine. If it's in my hand, it's mine. If I can take it from you, it is mine. Number four, if I had it a little while ago, it is mine. If it's mine, it must never appear to be yours in any way. Number six, if I'm doing or building something, all the pieces are mine. Seven, if it looks like it's mine, it is mine. Verse eight, if I saw it first, it is mine. If you are playing with it and you put it down, it automatically becomes mine. If it's broken, it is yours. Okay? So little kids, me, mine, right? And they throw a fit, right? When they can't have their stuff. Okay? Folks, spiritually, we got to grow up. God wants to use people, amen, that our prayer is, God, I'm me and you, we're doing great. My life is fine. But God, I want you to flow through my life to bless and to touch and to minister and to help others. It is for the profit of all. It is for other people. Okay? And again, it's not about boasting. It's not about bragging. Okay? But turn, let's see a couple verses here. Because God instructs us to desire, in other words, as we see, to be zealous for spiritual gifts. Okay, again, not for ego, not for entertainment. Not for bragging purposes, okay? For the profit of all. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 11. Sorry, verse 31. Verse 31. But earnestly desire the best gifts. The best gifts. All right, so again, what is the best gift? It's what someone else needs at that time. Right? And so if someone is sick, I really don't need a word of knowledge to tell them where they live and their phone number. Because the last time I checked, they knew that. Right? I don't need to tell you your phone number. I think you know your phone number, unless you've forgotten your phone number. Okay? That doesn't help you. Okay? But my heart needs to be, God, use me, flow through my life, that will help and will bless someone else. Earnestly desire the best gifts. And then he says this, and yet I will show you a more excellent way. And then he goes into the discourse of what love is. So right in the middle, and it's not a mistake by the Spirit of God who wrote the Bible, right in the middle of explaining spiritual gifts, what? Love. Love that doesn't seek its own, that's not proud, it's not stuck up. And that is a wonderful passage for marriages, but it's of the church for the benefit of others. And in 1 Corinthians 14, there's much teaching about the public and the private use of tongues and those interpretation of tongues. But again, the heart of it, listen to the heart of it behind of why he even gives that instruction. All right. 1 Corinthians 14, 1. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Now, why? Is that because it's a five-star gift and because it's really cool? No. Verse 2. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. So there's some personal benefit. Look at verse 3. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. So who gets the benefit of this exhortation, edification, and comfort? Not the person who is prophesying, the person who is receiving that. Exactly. Verse 4, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. He who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke in tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless he interprets, that the church may receive edification. The church may be built up. Okay? And there is a private benefit of speaking in tongues where we are edified, where we are built up. Okay? But he's saying, when you come together, seek to be a blessing. Seek to be a blessing. Amen? And I want God to really deal with our hearts, folks, because it is so awesome. And as, you know, all these folks that are going to be participating in evangelism this week, and there's so many incredible churches in our city. I mean, just, we are almost spoiled in the city of Lusaka of the incredible men and women of God that God has gifted and anointed, and the bodies that are just doing awesome, awesome things. Okay. That's a good thing. Okay. Here's the danger is that we get spoiled. Right. And I'm thankful at Miracle Life that, you know, the lights work sometimes and the toilets flush most of the time, you know. But that when we come to church, it's all about me. Me. We had a parking lot worker that was trying to help somebody. So here's a parking lot worker who comes early, stays late, gets dirty, breathes in dust to be a blessing to you. And they were guiding someone, and I'm sure this was a visitor. Okay. But they were guiding someone, and the person didn't like where they were guiding them and gave them the middle finger. Yeah, Miracle Life Family Church. I told them in the future, I said, get their license tag because they're going to have a chat with Pastor Walker if that ever happens again. We don't know who it was, all right? But see, again, we don't go to church for me. And really, church should be kind of a time where we get kind of getting refilled and refired. And then during the week, we go give it out. It should be more of a coaching session than God zap me, you know, or where the man or the woman of God goes and sits on their throne and they go get their miracle and then they deliver it to the poor peons and the masses, you know, and you just stay here and I'll go get that special stuff for you. And you just touch the hem of my garment and we'll all be okay, you know. Mm-mm. God wants to use you. God wants to flow in your life. And we live in a supernatural kingdom. Amen. Thank God for the power and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And he wants to use us in more ways than we've ever dreamed of. But guess what? It has to be with the right motive and for the right purpose. It has to be to help and to bless and to minister to others. Look real quickly over in Mark chapter 1 and we'll close. Mark chapter 1. This is a phrase that it was used a lot in the Gospels. This is just one place where it was used. Mark 1, verse 40. It says, "Now a leper came to him, to Jesus, imploring him, kneeling down to him, saying, 'If you are willing, you can make me clean.' Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand, touched him, and said, 'I am willing, be cleansed.' As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed." Now, what is that? That's the working of miracles. Because for that leprosy to be cleansed, that wasn't just a healing process. Okay? He got new skin. I mean, something changed. All right? So this was one of the gifts, one of the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit in operation. Why did it move in the life of Jesus? Oh, because he's the Son of God. No, it wasn't because he was the Son of God. He was anointed with the same Holy Spirit that we're anointed with. It's because of this phrase. Jesus was moved with compassion. Jesus was moved with compassion. Love motivated him to stretch out his hands. And it was actually in this text where he said, hey, don't tell anybody. Now, that's kind of hard. You're a leper, you know, and you come home and you're now not a leper. What happened to you? What are you talking about? What? You had half a nose and now you've got a nose. Dad, what happened? You know. But Jesus told him, he said, this is not about me. All right. And I'm so glad the Holy Spirit included this in the text. And you see it throughout the Gospels. Jesus moved with compassion. Amen. And may it be said of us, Miracle Life and the people of Miracle Life, we are moved with compassion and we stretched out our hand. We allowed the Holy Spirit to flow through us. And we don't care who gets the credit. That's not our name in lights. We're not the next powerful arch evangelist, high power person. We're just being used by God to be a greater blessing. And really, when you understand the gifts of the Spirit, is that, because there's a lot we can do, in a sense, in our ability, natural human ability. And there are some really great people all over the world that don't know God, and still they're a great blessing. But the gifts of the Spirit are things that you can't do naturally. They're gifts. They're supernatural endowments where God will flow through your life and touch other people. Amen? Hallelujah. And so let's let God do this in our life. Let us get on that path that Paul said, let's go on the most excellent way, the way of love, the way of compassion, the way of serving other people, of being a better business person for the sake of the kingdom, a better parent, a better help to our church and to our friends, to be able to minister to the sick, to be a blessing to our world. Amen. Let's go the most excellent way, motivated by God's heart to help people. Amen. Amen. Bow your head with me. Father, we thank you so much for the instruction that we have from your word. Lord, your word guides us. It shows us. And Lord, it shows a path. And Lord, it also gives us the grace to live on that path. And Father, we live in a world that is very much broken and hurting. And there's so much human suffering, Father, that sometimes it is literally overwhelming. But God, you care and you see and you know. And you want to use us as individuals, Lord, this church, connection groups, children ministry, all the different things, Father. You want to use us in a greater way. And Father, we desire to be used, and we earnestly desire the gifts. But Lord, our heart comes from your heart because you love people, because you care for people, because you don't want to see them suffering, and you have a way to turn their suffering around supernaturally at times. So Father, we yield ourselves to you. And Father, if there are any heart adjustments that need to be made in this room, Father, we allow your Holy Spirit to do that. That you would use us, but for your purposes, not for human glory, not for bragging purposes, not to say that our church is on fire. No, Father. But that people would be touched and lives would be changed. So, Father, we yield ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. And if you're here today and you need to make that adjustment, do so. Do so. Just talk to the Lord right now. And while we're praying, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here in this place, Jesus Christ loves you. He cares for you. And 2,000 years ago, God gave his very best gift. The Bible says it was an indescribable gift. It was the gift of his very own son. And he gave his son for you. When Jesus came and he died on the cross, he took your place. He took your sin. He took your judgment. Why did he do that? So that you could take his place. His place as a child of God. His place as righteous, as forgiven, as loved, as accepted. And today he offers you a free gift, a place in his family, to be a child of God. To be a child of God does not come, it doesn't come through the way you live. It doesn't come through the church you went to or the fact that you went to a class or were baptized. It comes from a personal decision in your heart, in faith towards God, to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And if you're here today and you've never made that decision, you can. The Bible says today is your day. Today is the day of salvation. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I don't know Jesus Christ, but I want to. I want to pray with you. Pray. And there's sin and rebellion and you're far from God. today you need to come home. You need to come home and you'll find a God who loves, who washes, who cleanses. Come home today. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, that's me. I want to know Jesus Christ. I want to come home to Him. Wherever you are right now, simply lift up your hand. Say, that's me. That's me. God bless you, sir. God bless you. Who else? Say, I want to pray that prayer. I want Jesus Christ to be the Lord and the Savior of my life. Where are you right now? God, thank you so much. Who'll join this one? Anyone else before we pray? Thank you, Lord. He loves you. You are important to Him. Thank you, Father. Well, before we go, can we all stand to our feet? Let's all stand to our feet. Thank you, Lord. If you lifted up your hand, or you know you should have lifted up your hand, just come and meet me up front. We're going to pray together, and God will do what He said He will do. He'll make you a brand new person. He'll cleanse you, and He'll bring you into His family. So just come right now. You lifted up your hand, or you should have lifted up your hand. Let's give these a big, big, big hand clap as they're coming. God bless you. God bless you so much. God bless you. God bless you, young lady. Anybody else? God bless you, young man. Proud of you. Proud of your decision. Amen. God bless you, sir. Awesome day. Awesome day. Now, God has a free gift for you. And Jesus paid for this. And so we don't pay for it, but we receive it by faith. And so I want to lead you in a prayer that will, in a sense, our faith will say, Lord, I receive what you have for me. All right. So I just ask you, just lift up one of your hands towards heaven because we're going to talk to Him, and close your eyes right now and just say this prayer with me. Say, God, I believe Jesus Christ is your Son. He died in my place. He took my sin. You raised Him from the dead so that I could know you. Jesus, be my Lord. Be my Savior. I confess you now. I turn away from my sin, from wrong things, and I follow you now. Thank you, Jesus, that you love me. Your Holy Spirit lives in me. I'm in your family. I belong to you. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. What a wonderful day. What a great day has begun for you.